You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
There it is, the theme song. I love it. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing.
Sing it.
No. Dude, I used to beatbox this intro. Bing is for doing you guys, and we are doing it again. Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hey, I'm Jason J. Carter in the hot seat with my beautiful beauty queen co-host. Hello, ladies.
Hi, I'm Julie Parton.
And I'm Kelly.
And we're here again. First of all, let's talk about the weather in L.A. Isn't it amazing? Finally, no more 90-degree weather. It's epic.
As of Saturday and Sunday, it was still 90 degrees, though. But just tonight, leaves falling down around us.
Yeah.
It's fall. We had some rain today, which is very unusual. So
great.
It's nice. Yeah.
And we also had an amazing, life-changing, and that's my phrase of the month, because everything to me is life-changing, because I'm on this path of, like, you know, renewal and whatever. But tonight's episode of Grey's was so good. It was finally back to form. And really just gave us classic Grey's dramedy. I call it dramedy because there's comedy, but such good drama and so many great moments tonight. So
I would say my favorite episode of the season.
By far.
If not several seasons.
Yeah.
This is why you watch the show. To gasp, to cry and be embarrassed of it, to love your characters, and to come away wanting to talk to your friends.
Absolutely. Just so powerful. Tonight's episode was titled Beautiful Doom, and I don't know where they come up with these titles, but it works. And let's get into it, you guys. The surgeries, of course. Well, Meredith...
This was the very, very, very much anticipated, talked about episode where we did a parallel between Meredith's life and Christina's life, and they hit it out of the park with this one.
I didn't think it was going to work, this whole tactic of having Christina being in a whole different state, living a separate life, because, like I said, for so many seasons, they've been inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's genius how they're doing this. You know, and how the writing is so equally good on both parts. Back at Seattle Grace Mercy West and at Mayo Clinic with Christina. I'll be quite honest with you, ladies. I think Christina is, her storyline this season is a lot more powerful than Meredith's. What she's experiencing and what they're giving, you
definitely.
Know, because Meredith is definitely going with that whole, I'm a mom, et cetera, et cetera. Christina's like, you know, sleeping with her attending or her boss.
I'm sure there's some moms out there that say this is her most powerful season, though.
Right, because they're like,
it's relatable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's relatable. But Meredith is faced with a tragedy that's really close to home. A lady's pinned under her car tonight, which was kind of... They'd done the car thing before with the sinkhole.
This was a bicyclist pinned under her car.
And it was, you know, harking back to Lexi, who was pinned under a plane. I'm not laughing.
Yes, you are.
But who was pinned under a plane and
it's not funny.
It's not funny at all. I'm just saying because you know it's being pinned under things is a typical thing for Grey's. There are sinkholes.
Yeah,
a rock fell on you. I was pinned under a rock, and it really hit home for her. Thank you. It really hit home for her, and so of course you know Meredith's driving by, and like you said, her Mercedes. She's attending now, making all that coin, all that change, and she stops, sees this lady, and again, there we are in the hospital, and she's performing the surgery.
But her first surgery, it was evident from almost the beginning, the symbolism that she was feeling the emotional connection to this patient as if it was her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the chief could tell, and the chief wanted her off of the surgery.
Cliche Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. Put the scalpel down.
But the thing is the thing that was making me mad in the surgery is I wanted her to, like, say, you know, you're not the chief anymore. Step away.
Yeah.
You know, because he was, like, everybody hands up. You know, whatever. He was He's always their relationship is very weird because he tries to father her because of the relationship he had with her mother, and it's always kind of weird. So throughout the seasons, at least to me, I've always kind of seen that he tries to kind of parent her, and that's what I think he was doing here.
Of course,
because I mean, and he was right. Of course, it was a little bit emotional. Couldn't save her sister, so she wants to do everything she can to save this patient because it was a very similar situation.
Sure,
but
and you think? Oh, go, Jules.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that we're going to talk about them at the same time since that's how the show set it up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, getting back to the Chief and Christina, again, I agree with you 100%, Kelly.
Chief and Meredith.
I'm sorry. No, the Chief. Yeah. Chief. Listeners, I know my characters. I know my characters.
Does he know?
I know. No, but the Chief and Meredith, you would think that he would have identified with that because he tried to save Adele with messing with the clinical trial. She tried to save Adele with messing with the clinical trial. So it's like, give her a break, Chief, for real. And you already screwed up her childhood. You know, you messed up her mother. Her mother went crazy because of you. Let Meredith have this one. And I think she probably... I would have let her do the surgery because she probably needed that closure, because I don't think, you know, amidst all the drama that happened, plane crashing, you're back at work, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around all the thing. Your life has changed dramatically.
Right, definitely.
So give her this moment to save this person's life and then address it. It's just always weird. But it's typical Grey's Anatomy cliche.
But I would not put Meredith's need for closure over the needs of the patient needing a good surgery. I thought Meredith was in a fine place, but if I was the Chief and I thought she couldn't emotionally handle it, I probably would have taken her out.
Right, but he's not the Chief.
That's true.
He's just some random doctor.
He's not the Chief
anymore.
Some other doctor trying to pull rank.
You know, that's right. But he's not the Chief anymore, and he was acting like that.
It's almost like he graduated high school and wants to come back and kick it. You know what I mean?
He's a super senior.
Right, super senior.
Which, you know, and in a way, he was right. She was doing everything that she could. She was going a little bit overboard. But I think that maybe his concern more was, you know, the interns were getting scared. She wasn't really teaching anymore. She was just all consumed on this one thing and not really communicating what needed to be done.
Right.
So therefore, it kind of made me look like she wasn't, you know, all professional about it. But I don't think that he necessarily truly understands her, because a lot of the times when there's a crisis involving her, I think his reaction is always a little off.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I do like seeing Meredith in a more commanding, powerful, because for 8 seasons, they've been students, almost. Mm-hmm. They've been under the thumb of Bailey and everyone above them, Teddy, you know, so now seeing them actually be grown up, it's believable. You know, they're wearing the dark blue scrubs. It's great. No more light blue scrubs. And I like seeing Meredith in an authoritative position. Also, she's a great teacher. Mm-hmm. Her humor and the way she attacks things and addresses her interns is very endearing, but also believable in the sense that she actually cares. And I'm glad that she's not going down the route of what I thought they were going to do, you know, saying the same phrases, okay, when I run, you run, or, you know, she's very authentic, and I mean, that's why Meredith's been one of my favorite and one of the greatest characters on the show. Let's fast forward to cold-ass Minnesota with
Christina Yang. Yeah, there was snow all over the ground because, you know, they're at the Mayo Clinic.
Right, the clinic.
And so, all over there, she's also dealing with a Mrs. Doomsday. It's this woman that has all kinds of aneurysms the size of honeycombs. And so,
they're apples, right?
No, do you know what honeycomb? Actually, my mind went to the cereal.
Well, I went to an actual honeycomb, you know, like from
the beehives.
The beehives. Oh,
Did you say honeycomb or honeycrisp?
I said honeycomb, right?
Oh. They're both so delicious.
Yeah. I had a honeycrisp apple from Vaughn's. I was like, that's a big ass aneurysm.
I think we digress. Go. She's got large aneurysms, people. We are not going to say what they are the size of.
I always like a woman with large aneurysms.
God, her aneurysms are so large.
And so her and Dr. Thomas decide to go in and do the surgery, and her boss comes in and thinks that they are doing the surgery the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Tries to shut it down. Dr. Thomas totally throws off his authority and does it the way that he thinks it should be done. And the woman is fine, but, you know, right then they have this big man-to-man clash testosterone moment. You're too old, get out. You're too young, you'll never know as much as I do. That kind of stuff.
A cat fight.
And Dr. Thomas still didn't give in.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm not gonna resign. I'm not gonna go, you know, do what you need to do, but I'm not giving it, you know.
He stated when he was talking to Christina and the snow, that, you know, he was brought to go down with the fight. And I see the similarities between him and Christina, because they're a lot alike. Christina's the same way. I'm not going down without a fight. And I think their relationship is just so awesome. And in a sense, because I've had relationships with mentors like that they didn't understand me, or not to make it personal, but they didn't understand me or get me, but they did. Mm-hmm. They just didn't let you know that they were me, they're, and they're old, in their older age. I was them at that age. Yeah, younger, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think you just said anything. they were old.
They saw a lot of themselves in me at that age. There you go. And I think that this chemistry between the two, and it's sad that the events that happened later on the show happened, but the chemistry between the two is some of the best in television I've seen in a long time, because it's really hard to get through to Christina. Mm-hmm. She's so headstrong. She knows what she wants. She's brilliant. And she's a force. And it's, when you're that talented, who can tell you anything? It's like Kanye West. He's so amazing. Who can tell him anything? You know? But this guy connects with her. And I think that's what she needs. She needs a mentor, you know?
I can't believe, of all the people in the world that don't need a mentor, he went right to Kanye. <I know>.
That's a whole other conversation.
Okay. Right. So Christina is just being pulled back and forth, yeah, between this man that she's grown to love and a father type figure. Oh, you guys, I just realized another parallel that they were experiencing.
What's that?
Oh, Kanye! Okay. Meredith with her father figure, who's not really her father, and Christina with her father figure, who's not really her father.
Right.
I didn't catch that until right now.
They all have severe daddy issues.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Severe.
So, that's what's happening over here. This is what's happening over here. They talk to each other, right?
Yeah, they're on the phone with each other, and we see them, you know, discussing their patients. They're both worried about their patients. They don't want to go home. They can't sleep. And I thought it was really cute that Christina was at the liquor store making an adult diaper bag. I was like, what do I put in it? I've already got tequila. And Meredith said, well, you always have to have backups, so it's just more tequila.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cute.
I think their portrayal of this long-distance relationship is one of the most realistic and heartfelt I've seen on television, because you wouldn't think that you could make a relationship seem that real and that heartwarming, cut the whole country apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me feel good, because I live far from my family, and
yeah,
you do still have a relationship.
And, you know, they've been through so much together. They've experienced death and happiness, and they've lived a lifetime together, almost, it seems, in these last nine seasons of Grey's Anatomy, that, of course, that relationship's going to stand the test, those tests, you know, long distance and time away. And again, and it's believable. That's what I like about Grey's and their relationship. It's believable. You can, like, I have friends like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the writers of Grey's are so clever, and they're so genius in the way that they bring to life things that we would all experience. That's how we connect with the show so well, because we can identify with some of the problems or the emotions that they're feeling. There's not a lot of shows on TV that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, I love Christina Yang. She's one of my favorite characters on the show, because amidst all her just cold, stilly exterior, I always say that she has a heart of gold, and she's so vulnerable. And within that vulnerability is just so sexy for some reason. I don't know. It does it for me.
Yes, you say it over and over.
I know.
It's kind of hot in here.
So then they have this moment that we think they're getting old, because they fall asleep on the phone, and they're like, you know what we need? 30-second dance party. And then they fall asleep. The 30-second dance party was the fun thing they used to do to relieve stress. You know, mm-hmm, they go crazy dancing. And so they wake up, and this was one of my favorite moments of the show, because I felt like we got to experience what it must be like to be a doctor. They wake up from dead asleep, and they both immediately think at the same time, please be alive, please be alive, please be alive.
Right.
And I thought right then, how stressful must it be to be an ER doctor, somebody who constantly have other people's life in your hands?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
Especially with everything else going on around them.
Yeah.
You know, and Meredith having to worry about her daughter.
Yeah, her first thought wasn't even, where's Zola, where's Zola? Which, it was like hot potato with that baby. Yeah. Do you have her? Because Derek
at least
was,
he saw her this time.
Yeah, Derek was out of town, and she was being shoved around because she couldn't go to daycare.
Right. And then Bailey telling her to get it together, sweetie. I love the speech Bailey gave her. Look. If us women are going to run the world, girl, you need to stop your baby from crying and get an effing babysitter.
You can't let anybody hear it.
Yeah.
You can't let anybody hear the baby cry.
You know,
only women respond.
Yeah. Right. It's really good. And look,
I really thought you were going to cue a baby crying.
Let's talk about Bailey real quick, though. Do you guys feel that Bailey is kind of taking a back seat this season? I feel like the almighty, omnipotent Bailey is very demure this season for some reason.
Yeah,
just in and out.
I don't know if I necessarily like it. But, I mean, that gives room for Meredith to be that authority figure and, you know, for the residents who are now kind of the leaders to be leaders. Yeah. So I get it. But
it
just doesn't feel
right. It's a natural life transition to move. I mean, once you become a mother and once you become older. But I don't feel like she's at that spot yet. Well, I still feel like she's young and in the like the prime of
I think
like she shouldn't be feeling like she's out of the loop yet. She's still the commanding doctor at that hospital.
Right.
But they've just shoved her in the background.
But is she, though, or are they all now kind of on an even playing
field? Thank you, Kelly, because I went... They're all wearing the same scrubs, and it's like the natural progression. She's not menopausal.
Like, they're making her seem like she's going through this journey of discovering who she is.
But I think they're
and
just
like
now
needing self-confidence. But Bailey's still bad A, and I don't know why that they're making.
Well,
her
I think
so
now they're just all on the same level, so she doesn't have to be that way with them anymore.
And she says it; they're not my responsibility anymore. They're all on the same level now. Bailey started out before them, so of course she's gonna grow them up. But now they're grown up; they're her babies. Are all grown up, so they are on the same level, and that's what I love seeing. You know, towards the end of the episode, she gives Meredith. We can gab about this now. She gives Meredith the Tucker tested approved babysitter roster because you know she needs it, and she's giving it to her because she now believes in Meredith. Meredith's arrived, and you can see that Bailey sees that Meredith, like, you're on point. Even with a couple episodes ago when she was doing that really tricky brain surgery and Derek was all supporting her, you know, he was proud of her. Meredith has arrived. She's no longer the intern. She's no longer a resident. She's now an attending. And it's so, and it's kind of like we're proud of her, you know?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
She doesn't seem as fragile as she used to be or as, like, skittish.
Right.
Like, I think she's definitely seems to be more confident and all that. Even in this episode where she says, you know, I used to be just a resident and now I have to make the decisions. But even though we see a little bit of fear there, she's still I would still be confident having her as my doctor the way that she portrays herself. And she knows her stuff. She always has. She's always been very smart.
Right.
And, you know, really.
It used to be the older doctors talking about her. Mm-hmm. Like, that one has talent if you could just get past her crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But she's gotten to a point where everybody has faith in her as a doctor.
Because her dark and twisty's a little bit subsided.
Yeah.
Right. They got their happy. So get our happy ending. Get our happy ending. You know, with her being a mom now, with her cliche Zimbabwe baby, Zozo. And the house and everything. You know, it's come full circle. But I think, honestly, getting back to Christina, I wouldn't want Christina to be married and to have that life won't fit Christina.
Christina doesn't want it, and she has proved that.
Right.
Over and over and over.
The abortion.
This episode was my favorite because it did exactly what I wanted it to do. Her relationship with Dr. Thomas, and I don't know if you remember, like, in the first couple episodes when we were doing this, I said I really wanted to see her more humanized.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I got to see with her relationship with Dr. Thomas. And he did train her in the sense where he got her to stop and pay attention to someone else. Stop and listen for a second. Let me help you. I already know that you're brilliant. There's no question there. But take a breath. Even to the point where he literally tells her, breathe. You stop breathing. And when you stop breathing, you stop thinking. Calm down.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
just such a great thing to watch that between the two of them, to the point where she cared a lot about him. She didn't want him to get fired. And, you know, she fought for him and all of that. But just to kind of see that different side of her with another professional and not just with Meredith or not just with somebody she's sleeping with, but with somebody she truly respects. We saw a little bit of that with her with Teddy, but it was still kind of...
That had several different levels.
Yeah.
There
were so many, like, awkward things. Like, this was a true, genuine, professional respect.
Yeah, this was truly platonic.
Mm-hmm.
And taking Christina out of Seattle Grace and out of the whole... Have you ever noticed that when you are the company you keep?
Yeah.
And when you remove yourself from certain things, how you see things differently, things are a lot clearer, and people see you a little bit differently. Same thing with Christina. Taking her away from Mercy, from Seattle Grace Mercy West and bringing her to Mayo Clinic gave us a whole new insight to her and a whole new light. And we saw Christina in a whole different environment because we didn't have her always going back to talk to Meredith. Even though they talked on the phone, but we didn't have the inundation of Kepner, Owen, Karev.
There's not all those other distractions.
It's her. It's very focused on her, and that's why we see her with such fresh eyes and clearly now. And I also have to say that I was never feeling that relationship she was having with her boss anyways. First of all, he's not attractive.
Yeah,
secondly, it's just awkward. Like, she needs some like chocolate back in her life, honestly, or something. Or she, you know, she's got swag. She's got swag. What was that? Oh snap! There you go. Bring back Burke. That's who handled Christina the right way.
Well, but before we move on, there was one subtle moment that I wanted to touch on there that I thought was important and will have implications further on in the season, is that when she couldn't find Zola, Meredith was searching for Zola, Owen had her, mm-hmm. and he was experiencing true joy with that child.
Daddy mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah. We just see that he loved it, he's a natural, and that's probably going to be a theme that we see later on in the season. He's not going to be able to get over the fact that he can't have kids with Christina.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you like Grey's Anatomy and any other AfterBuzz TV show, you can go to iTunes and tell a friend and rate us. We love hearing about your comments. We love getting all your feedback. If we're amiss on something, or we did miss something, or you have some other inside gossip that we aren't aware of, tell us about it. We love hearing from our fans. Rate us. That's how we do here at AfterBuzz. That's how we roll here at AfterBuzz, and we love our fans. Mwah! Smooches! Back to the show.
Okay, so I think we're ready to move on to that crazy climax of a show. And whenever I was reading the tweets, somebody on the East Coast said, I just woke up my whole family screaming at Grace. And I'm like, oh, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't figure out what, and boy, did it throw us all away.
Absolutely. I wasn't even expecting what happened.
Right.
I mean, I figured, but not like that fast, like just boom.
Okay, so they go back to their surgeries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're both having their surgeries independently of each other. And by the way, this was one of the grossest things I've ever seen on Grey's Anatomy.
The opening
like,
of the cavity.
The split screen of all the guts on both sides. And then Meredith's surgery, whatever she was with, all of the different interns. And they're literally like digging in this body, all of them
it's
together.
It's just a pool of blood.
Didn't give me any confidence in the surgical procedure. Lift that, suck that. And they're all like diving in there, swimming in the blood. I can't tell.
But aren't you glad it wasn't a bowel obstruction or a perfed abdomen or something?
Or the same, yeah.
The same thing over ailments over. Every day. But that,
I just didn't. It's making me sick to my stomach thinking about just.
Grace does a great
that
job.
Punch bowl of blood.
Of balancing, though, real medical.
Exactly. I could never be a doctor.
My brother's a doctor, and he loves it. They do a great job of balancing real medical procedures and real medical terminology within the show. Because it's hard to incorporate that and make it seem like this is more about make it about a show about medicine and surgeons and surgery and also about the other drama going on in the show. So you got to give Grace kudos for that. Because what they did is exactly what happens in a surgery.
Mm-hmm. That moment, though, when Meredith was under so much pressure in the surgery and trying to make this girl stay alive, why'd they leave her with three interns? I was wondering why they didn't have another surgery. There was a lot of people missing from this episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, Callie wasn't in it, Arizona
wasn't.
Well,
Callie was in it for a minute.
Yeah.
I think they all had surgeries that they kind of explained
why couldn't
that, like,
Alex
everybody
help?
Had a
nobody could
something.
Help with the surgery.
Well, they didn't have a surgery. They're babysitting.
Right. Zozo.
I just felt like she just didn't really assemble a team there.
Yeah.
Yeah, her team was just me and these three people who
well, but I like how she was like, don't panic. It's okay. We're going to find this. Just do this. Don't move. Do this. And, you know, she still didn't freak out. And then eventually she finds where, you know, she finds where the leak is coming from. They fix it and she clamps it down. And I love that she says, okay, does anybody know what we do next?
Right. I was like, oh, great. It's one of those moments where, you know, where she gets tested in the first episode.
Yeah.
They ask, you know, what would cause pneumonia in a post-op patient. And Meredith was the only person who knew. And like none of the interns knew. I was like, it's probably going to be some like terminology like C. diff. She's like, we have a 30-second dance party.
And she starts dancing, and they're all like, what are you doing, Medusa? And she's like, dance or you're fired.
And then everybody starts dancing.
Even the no-name anesthesiologist.
Oh, yeah. We love that.
And the anesthesiologist. Like dancing. Everybody was dancing.
Hilarious moment.
Great stuff. Yeah. And again, human moments on Grey's. Great mm-hmm. writing. Like, who thinks of this stuff? You know, it's just, it's always so perfect. It's like, yes, I would totally do that with my friends. I would totally be that person. All their corny antics and stuff just work. Going mm-hmm. on to Christina in Minnesota.
In the Mayo.
Doing the surgery that they didn't have permission to do.
Right. So they mm-hmm. decided to buck the system, go mm-hmm. against the chief orders, and do the surgery that Dr. Tonis thought was right. And Christina agreed with him that it was right, but she really didn't want him to do it because she didn't want him to lose his job.
Right.
It was more about she's sticking up for her friend, having mm-hmm. her friend's back. And she tells the chief, look, I can't do the surgery. Can you do the surgery? He's the only person who can do the surgery. And the chief is so hell-bent on getting rid of this guy. He's like, fine. Whatever it takes to get rid of this dude, I could care less. He's so cocky and so arrogant about it. And you could just see right then and there, Christina almost felt a little defeated, but you could see their relationship just crumble like it's a wrap. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna she's do this. Over
it's,
this
it's
guy.
Over.
And it's fine. Nobody cared about it anyway.
Right. He was just so awkward. It's such an awkward casting of that guy. Yeah. Every time I see him, I thought Rex from Desperate Housewives.
Me too.
Every
I didn't
time.
Think it was that bad of casting. I mean, no, he fit the role of mindless corporate guy
I
that she just
so
ended
too.
Up with. Yeah.
And, you know, how many people is she around? She's in this one area. You know, it's either the old guy or this guy.
So, you know, she's like, damn it. Where's the sexy Slim chocolate?
Pickens.
There's none.
Slim Pickens over there in Minnesota.
Here, not in Seattle anymore. So they're doing the surgery, and we got to see a sweet relationship between this patient and her husband, by the way, who were very natural granola mm-hmm. types. Yeah. And I always love it. I feel like there's more drama around the surgery, and you're more invested when you know that there's loved ones out in the lobby mm-hmm. waiting on the edge of their seats to hear the results.
Yeah. And you know, of course, Meredith saves the day, walks out, says, you know, your patient's going to live. Well, no, I'm sorry. Meredith doesn't walk. The lady wakes up. The interns come and get her
okay.
and say she wakes up and, you know, she starts talking to her. But then you see Meredith really upset, though. Like, you always can tell when Ellen Pompeo is going to cry because she doesn't really, like, her face, like, does this weird thing and she's, like, her lips are just so, if I was, like, inebriated, I could probably do it. But, you know, she's realizing that this lady lived and that but Lexi didn't.
Right.
You know, that she saved her.
Yeah.
And it was like, just make the quote, she's like, my sister died and you're here. You know, it was kind of unfair. And she was grieving for her sister, but was like, damn, why couldn't have this been Lexi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really, why couldn't it have been Lexi? Why did we have to kill off such a beauty queen? So lame. So lame. And then Christina, the surgery, that
right.
the moment of truth, the piece de resistance of
so
tonight's
they're
episode.
In the middle of the surgery, right? And
they
start
the
having
the cutest banter.
It was cute and heartfelt, but it was really too emotional for a surgery for me. It was
but that's
stressful.
When they have, but if you notice throughout the season, that's when they have some deep conversations.
For sure.
A lot of the times when they're in surgery, that's when they have their conversations.
I think that's why it bugs me. I want my doctors focusing on my abdomen when it is open.
But
you know?
But like I said, my mom and my brother are medical professionals. You have to understand, they're in these surgeries for hours on end, and they do this all the time. And it's the same way as we're hosts. We can talk about anything. We have it's second nature for us. Same thing with surgery. They're so used to doing it, and it's so like the back of their hand, and that's how they stay present, by talking to each other. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're into your surgery. I mean, if there's they play music at like loud music during surgeries because that's how they focus. It's so weird mm-hmm. and awkward. So I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, but I like that they were about. You know, talking about the surgery. Talking, you know, he was talking about how she was the surgeon of her generation,
beautiful.
Which was a great compliment.
And he was talking about how he felt that it would be an honor to him to be known as a mentor and trainer to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would consider that an honor to have been able to teach her something because he thought she had that much potential.
It was a very Superman moment. You know how when Jor-El tells Kal-El when he's going to Earth, you'll be their savior, you know, you'll draw inspiration from the sun. It was just that. He was basically
right.
telling her, like, you are almost like God's gift to surgery, you know, mm-hmm. and thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and you mean you're brilliant, but you don't know the magnitude, the depth of your brilliance.
Exactly.
You know? And it was, and just for him to be so genuine and so, I don't know, just telling about that was epic for Grace, because we've always known Christina is great. We've always known she's
well, and she reminds everybody how great she is.
But to hear
this was different
from some, but to hear from someone who is this dry and not as easy to like at first
mm-hmm.
was great.
Who's someone who admittedly did not have much friends or family because
right.
he was so focused
right.
on being the most amazing surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And so while this was going on, while he was giving this motivational speech, we were actually joking while we were watching the episode, bringing back all the different moments of like, Simba, you're
yeah.
more than you've become.
Oh,
like,
nah,
all these different nah. moments. Oh, sensei. Or like
yeah,
the Yoda passing on. It was like definitely the passing of the baton from the great to the next great.
Right.
Because he felt he was done. You could tell that he was just like, okay, fine. When they were talking outside, he's like, I don't care. I'll go. I'll leave, but I'm not going to go without a fight. He basically knew his time was up.
Right.
And he just didn't want to be forced out. You know,
he's gonna go out strong.
Yeah, and so he knew his time was done. Mm-hmm. So they're doing the surgery, and lo and behold, of course, in
like
typical
a freaky, scary, teary moment, his face just goes completely blank.
He freezes.
Yeah. And he doesn't even drop anything. He just sort of looks her in the eye with terror in his eyes and just stays that way for a little bit. Eventually, Christina looking back at him. We know something's going on. I didn't think it was this.
Mm-hmm.
And drops his tools, collapses to the ground. And has, one of the most
crazed, frozen look on his face.
It's realistic. Like,
I mean,
dead
it
guy,
was insane.
Open mouth faces ever.
Emmy.
I mean, guest star. I would not be surprised if he got nominated for a guest star. Emmy.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was scary. Look, like, he had the frozen face where, like, this guy's gone.
Yeah, done. And are we, so, consensus is massive stroke.
That's what our guess
I don't think
is.
It was a hard time.
Maybe a hard time.
No.
I don't know. That moment was really, really hard
for
me.
Well, you couldn't really tell. It just was...
Because he would have been, oh, my left arm, oh, oh. But I think it was a
that's
stroke.
How it's portrayed on television. Nobody but, actually I mean, knows how it is.
I don't know.
Whatever it was, he was struck by sudden death, and that's just terrifying because a lot of people have experienced that in real life. And I feel like it was a really close to the moment of how it must be to look in somebody's eyes as they're looking into the other person's eyes telling them I'm not okay.
Well, how much death has poor Christina dealt with?
During surgery.
And then she's having to watch this and then, you know, jump in and register back to what she's doing because you see the big blood splurt of you know, when he drops it. So she has to go get it together, finish this surgery while she's worrying about her friend.
And she's praying. I mean, not to go all deeply religious or go all Mitt Romney on you guys, but she's praying, like, God, please, you know, like, and it was just, again, a turning point, a moment, like, a special moment on Grey's that rarely happens where you're just like, wow. I mean, a first for Grey's. To see Christina pray and ask God for guidance, I mean.
Like, for him to breathe. Like, breathe, please, God, breathe.
And I hate it whenever they write somebody on to the show of Grey's to kill them off. But for some reason, I didn't see this one coming, and I was really incredibly invested in this relationship, and the death caught me off guard and made me emotional.
Yeah.
Like, it has in a while. For a long time, I haven't felt that attached to a death in Grey's.
I definitely teared up when that was happening.
And the monologue he gave as they're rolling his body away and Christina's walking.
Oh, stop. We're serious here.
Moment. Wow. I mean, normally I'm all for the ending, but this was intense. I want, you know, your homework is to go watch the show again.
You can come back and tell us that you did not even tear up, not even a little water.
But the monologue, again, him reciting to her, you know, it was almost like a Danny Duquette moment, but done right. You know, he's like telling her again. Yes.
He didn't have to physically be there. It was her remembering what he had told her.
And it was. Oh God, I wish I could conjure words to describe how I felt watching that, and just how great it was because it was just so powerful. I mean, just the moments, guys, the moving moments of this show that are missing from television. You know, this is why Grey's is so awesome because of this. That 35 seconds of television. Did it for me for the whole year thus far. Seriously. And just, again, the way he was talking to her and telling her how great she is and just, and how it meant something to her. Because she's, like you said, Kelly, she knows she's amazing.
Right.
She knows she's sick and fierce, ferocious.
But this was different in just telling her, don't try to make friends. You're not going to. There's
you're
no friends here for you.
Right.
People are going to be intimidated by you. People are going to be jealous of you, but you just have to deal with it. And don't feel sorry for them and don't try to explain yourself. This, you know, basically, you know, you are who you are. You're great and everyone will see that eventually. And it was amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. So good. Mm-hmm. So good.
I was so sad, though.
Of course you were.
I don't think I've been that sad since Izzy was around.
Oh.
Wrong sound effect.
I was wondering.
Yeah, my bad. Totally.
Fired.
Yeah.
Thank God you're good looking because, you know, if you were ugly, I would have to...
thank you, Jason.
Security. Security.
So... Christina has to go out and share the good news with this guy. Was it her husband? I believe it was
the guy. Yes, the husband. And the granola family.
Who was obviously so relieved to get to have his wife back. But you could tell Christina was done. That was a moment in her life that she was going to change the course that she was on and do something new.
Yeah.
She was just like that confused and it had that much of an impact on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when she's walking down the hall, and of course, you know, all the doctors are lined up. Oh my gosh, what happens? Douchebag chief doctor is there.
And he reaches out to her to shake her hand, and she just snubs him.
No, she gives him like a...
What kind of like consolation
she, like, elbow
him, right?
Yeah.
I was like,
she's like, don't even... I don't even want to be anywhere near that hand.
Hot.
Damn.
She's such a winner.
She was so over it. Yeah. She's like, get off me.
So right. We go back to Seattle. And I don't think we're missing anything, but Meredith was in her home.
Zola was safe and happy.
Yeah. Safe and sound. Her fever had broke. She's walking
don't
around.
Wake up.
And the doorbell rings. And I think I was expecting something horrible.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Burke back from the dead or Izzy at the door.
No, I was expecting something horrible.
Yeah.
Like Derek, something bad, right?
Right.
And so she's like, no, 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 Zola's already asleep. Doorbell rings, goes. It was Christina.
She got on the
Yes, Christina is back in Seattle.
It took some liquid convincing to get her on there, but she made it happen.
And it was, and you know what? Again, it was a moment that you were happy to see, and it wasn't like, oh, I knew that was coming.
We were just happy to see. We literally cheered.
Yeah.
Yes, and I like that she says, I drank the tequila from my diaper bag. I don't even know my own name right now.
And then I thought was really odd timing, but Meredith finally, for the first time, I guess, dealt with it, said right then, Lexi's dead. I thought it was such a strange moment.
Well, that's happened before, though, on Grey's.
No, but I don't think it was strange because I think it was they each faced their fear. She didn't want to live. She didn't want to face the fact that her sister was dead.
Okay.
Christina didn't want to fly. The fear of having to get back on a plane and do that. She faced it. She was there. And then I think at the same time, she
faced her fear of saying that.
And just accepting it.
It was just such a great moment that her best friend is back. I wish she had held that revelation for us.
I don't know, for me, I think that's what makes it more meaningful because they are best friends. And the fact that Christina looked at her and she got it.
And she could say that to somebody.
But she understood it. You know, that's a real friendship.
And you know what? Christina just basically said, she didn't even say
no. She said, everybody's dead. Yeah. Meaning what she just went through. Her friend just died.
Yeah, I'm like,
you know?
She's like, yes, but I'm here.
That moment, but not to be a downer, but again, when George died, Christina had just finished getting it on with Owen, and she's like, George died. Okay, he died last season, Christina, and now you're just, you know, you're scatting to that, you know? And the monologue was, you know, there's moments I'll take your breath away, and she goes, George died. Of course, great writing from Grace. Mm-hmm. But tonight was like, tonight was definitely believable, and you were relieved to see Christina back. I was relieved to see Christina back, but
definitely.
You felt bad for Meredith because, you know, I've never lost a loved one that close to me, thank God, and I'm very fortunate to have everyone, but I do have friends who've lost close friends and family members, and I can only imagine what the grieving process is and the hole that's left in your life and you know, in your heart of someone that's gone. Mm-hmm. And you need everyone in your corner, and it was just nice to see that connection again, and it was like, perfect. Like you said, tonight's episodes gave us everything and really drove home the reason why we're such super fans of this show. You know, there's everything. There's emotion, there's humor, there's some stupid stuff. You know, there wasn't as much filler this episode.
There's
either.
Melodrama, but there's extreme suspense. Yeah. We loved it.
Great. Two very enthusiastic thumbs up. Great family
Absolutely.
Fun. Great family fun. Hashtag clueless. So, you know, let's move on to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes. Well, I was doing my homework today, ladies, and I was reading that not only did we touch on last week that Grey's got picked up for 24 episodes of season, ABC ordered two final episodes of season 9, I'm sorry, instead of the 22. That's a great thing. But there will be a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
That there will be wedding bells chiming for people of Seattle, Grace, Mercy, West. They didn't say who or when, but it's going to be coming up in the...
In predictions, we're each going to say who we think it is.
Okay. In a couple of episodes, that's going to be pretty cool. And also... Avery got married in real life. Jesse Williams got married.
I thought that was a while ago, actually.
Well, I know, but we're reporting about it now because people are talking about it. And apparently, I mean, like, maybe his wife isn't a looker.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm happy they're happy.
I honestly haven't seen a picture yet.
Although, let's be very honest about this. It's hard to be a looker next to Jesse Williams.
This is true. He's a very, very beautiful person.
I guess. He doesn't do it for me.
Well, other news and gossip, a little unrelated, but sort of, and very relevant to our generation. They are bringing back Boy Meets World. Disney is doing a reboot, and it has been rumored that it will have the same cast with Corey and Topanga as parents, although now Corey has turned into the history teacher.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. And they have a 13-year-old daughter in his class. But the reason that it relates to the show, and I was going to say this before tonight's episode, Dr. Thomas may be returning to the series.
Mr. Feeney coming back.
I was going to say that and then predict that he was going to be written off the show. Happened before. But anyway, we may get to see him again on television soon, since we loved him so much on this series.
Nice. That's good.
Very nice.
That's good. Good stuff. Good stuff. And now for your AfterBuzz Grey's Anatomy After Show predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
You know, honestly, ladies, I don't really have any predictions as far as...
Who do you think the wedding's going to be?
I think it's going to be... Honestly, I think it's going to be some interns.
What?
Seriously. I don't know. I don't want it to be Kepner.
I'm
going to
go
Avery.
With Bailey.
Bailey?
I think it's Bailey's
Maybe.
Wedding.
I think it's Dr. Weber.
Whoa!
With Jackson's mom.
Okay, all right.
Possibly.
That's what I think.
They're hot together. Mm-hmm. They're hot together. She's a urologist on the show. Mm-hmm.
You said this before.
Yeah. I'm still wondering, like,
but I think that it could be something where he's going to, you know, get a divorce and...
Well, I think Adele... I honestly feel like Adele's going to die.
Yeah, well, sometime this season. That's probably a good prediction.
She's like not gonna, or she's gonna deteriorate so bad that she can't remember who she is, and then he's just gonna, you know, like it is what it is.
Right. And then also next week, looks like we're gonna have a really, really fun episode because they will be talking about how to teach the new intern stuff and lots of references to the idiot interns and how are they ever going to make it. We're excited.
And their
about
new
it.
Names.
Right. Yeah.
Because Christina's back.
Yes.
How are they going to react?
Yeah,
to
how
are
they going to react?
That's going
to
be hilarious.
That's
going to
be fun to watch.
Cannot
sure.
wait. Again, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever or on Facebook at the Jason J. Carter fan page.
I'm Julie Parton, and you can find me on Twitter at Julie Parton, JULIEPARTIN.
And you can find me on Twitter at Kelly with an IE 079.
Guys, next time. Deuces.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.